The situation for people still stuck in the besieged city of Mariupol remains desperately uncertain today. The governor of Ukraine's Luhansk region says that five humanitarian corridors have been agreed in his region. However, in contrast, an aide to the mayor of Mariupol is quoted as saying that Russian forces are not allowing humanitarian aid in and that the city is very dangerous for anyone trying to leave. Well, for more on this situation, I'm joined by Oliver Carroll from The Economist. Oliver, thank you for joining us this morning. Firstly, to Mariupol. The last time we spoke, you had managed to speak to some people who did get out of Mariupol. We were expecting that 45 buses would take people out of there over the course of these days, today and yesterday. What's been happening?
So the situation is pretty much as it was before. Some convoys are getting out, but under under shelling. There aren't any established humanitarian routes out. There is a ceasefire in parts, but coming in as the authorities say is much more difficult because the Russian checkpoints aren't letting people through. There's a sense that maybe they may be bringing supplies in for those basically defending the city. So that's a little bit more difficult.
So what the aide to the mayor of Mariupol is saying, that you know, humanitarian aid is not getting in and it's very dangerous to leave. You would agree with that from what you've been hearing?
Certainly from what I've been hearing, yes. It's certainly getting easier to leave, but that's more a result of the fighting being concentrated in certain parts of the city, whereas the Ukrainians before were holding most of the city. Now they've been beaten back into a few areas, and the Azov Steelworks, which is where they're essentially defending. So it's, in that respect, it's become slightly easier to get out, but it's not been because of a good reason, shall we say.
I want to talk to you, Oliver, about some of the developments that we're seeing coming through on the wires today. Ukraine saying it has reclaimed towns near Chernihiv. Also some suggestion that Russian forces are pulling back from Chernihiv. What are you hearing?
So it's an ambiguous situation. On the one hand, there is a partial withdrawal from places around Kyiv, north of Kyiv, and on the other side of the Dnieper River around Chernihiv, the town you mentioned before. Chernihiv had been essentially a siege for the last few days, surrounded all sides. That seems to have been reduced, and there seems to be a decision to move some of the forces away. Russia has been presenting this as a diplomatic move, as a sort of goodwill gesture to Ukraine. Discount that immediately. That is not the case. What is happening is a mixture of battleground defeats and the decision to move the forces around Chernihiv and around Kyiv to places where they are perhaps more useful in the east, and where there is a sense that Russia might be gaining ground around the east. And we're talking south of Kharkiv, around Izyum. And they're trying to essentially, what they're trying to do there is encircle Ukrainian soldiers, some of them, the best Ukrainian soldiers, in the Donbas region. So it's a mixed thing. And I wouldn't call it a withdrawal, because certainly the Russian forces remain in great numbers around Kyiv, for example. I know that they're just north of Irpin, which is the sort of satellite town just north of Kyiv. They haven't moved anywhere. Of course, any withdrawal plan might happen in stages, but it doesn't seem to be a full withdrawal plan. And it does seem that Russians are at least digging in parts there. So it's a complicated picture.
All right. Another report we're seeing is this oil depot in the Russian city of Belgorod, that it's reportedly on fire this morning, and the regional governor there is blaming Ukrainian military helicopters for the attack. Now, what are you hearing on that score?
So it hasn't been claimed by Ukraine. If indeed it was a Ukrainian strike, and what we know from the videos is that two helicopters did fire missiles at the oil depot, after which it caught fire. That's what we know. What we don't know is whose the helicopters were. It's logical to suggest they are Ukrainian, but it is inside Russian territory, and it would represent the first missile strike on Russia since the Second World War. And that in itself is big news. But the one thing to be cautious about is that Russia has been some time looking for justification to sell to its people for the reason why they need to step up the operation or indeed start the operation in Ukraine. So it's important, in the absence of any confirmation by anybody other than the Belgorod governor, who is a Russian state official, and the Russian state media, to be very cautious about assigning blame initially to Ukraine. But if indeed it was, it would represent an operation of high risk, of high kakonis, and or other low kakonis, an operation of great risk and essentially. For Russia to have this in its backyard, it's something which will send a shock to the Kremlin. Now, there are reasons why Ukraine might want to do this, if indeed it is Ukraine, and that is essentially because of the operation which I mentioned before, further south from Kharkiv. Kharkiv is just across from Belgorod. So the idea being that Ukraine is looking for ways to make Russia think again before committing all its forces to attack further down. So this might be a sort of way of pulling Russian forces away from the main operation.
Of course, though, there is the risk of losing the moral high ground if Ukraine starts to attack on Russian soil. But as you say, everything must be taken with a pinch of salt. The Ukrainian president then saying that he's fired two top officials, his overall head of internal security being the most high profile one.
Without sort of commenting too much about, we don't know enough information about it. But what's important to say is that Zelensky is not the kind of person to take decisions unilaterally. This will have been after an investigation or a recommendation from his military officials. I visited him last week. I took an interview with him. What really struck me about his whole operation was the extent to which it's non-hierarchical, and he doesn't really take a direct involvement in military matters, unlike his predecessor Petro Poroshenko. He said to me that he's very happy to be consulted, and of course he takes some decisions himself. But as his chief of staff said, the main military decisions are being taken by the army command and Zaluzhny, who's the head of the armed forces, and that's a big difference. So I would suggest this is coming from an internal realization as to what's necessary.
Okay, Oliver, we'll let you go shortly, but without compromising your safety and security, it sounds very busy where you are this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening?
Sure, I'm back in Kyiv, visiting a neighbourhood I used to live in, seeing that actually there's a certain amount of life which is coming back to Kyiv. Part of it is because, of course, the reduced risk and the withdrawal of some Russian troops, and certainly the much reduced risk of encirclement. But it's remarkable to see, and Ukrainians are making a point of this, that life is returning and they haven't been defeated.
Well, that's good to see and good to hear. Oliver, thank you very much for joining us from Kyiv this morning.
A pleasure.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.